today. I want you to repeat it with me. We were saved by the cross. Right. See, I don't say at the cross. It's always by the cross. God used the cross to save us. That's why the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if they had known, if the enemy had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Because through his sacrificial death, he saved all mankind. All right? So he saved us at the cross. Now, what I want to do today is to move on. But you have to receive it. Now, you can go on being who you are, or you can receive the grace of God. Because you can't live, and he lives in you too. I gave you that this morning. You have to understand there must be a death. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2. You cannot have life without death. Galatians chapter 2. So if you remain who you are, you'll never get God's grace. Galatians chapter 2. You must die to self, and God can live through you. Galatians chapter 2, one verse, and that's verse number 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. We are talking about, once again, we were saved by the cross, all right? Now, God already did the work, but he cannot make you receive it. You can go on and live your life, or you can lay down your life and pick up his. That's what he's told his disciples. You got to deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Deny yourself is what you have to do. Deny yourself. All right. We thank God for children's church today. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. From the book of Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Once again, from the book of Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. We thank God today for children's church. Let's give God a big hand for children's church today. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Let's read together. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So there has been an exchange. Your life for his life. Go to 2 Corinthians 5:21. There has been an exchange. When you give God your life, you can receive his life. But if you keep your life, you would be destroyed. That's why God told them, you can keep your life or you can give it to him and save it. All right? So we want to see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You in Galatians, you got to go backwards. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. God's life for your life. 2 Corinthians 5:21, the last verse. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Say this with me. You must give your life and receive his life. All right. See, there must be a death. It's your death in his life. Let me say it again. Your death, that's why, let's go back to that. Let's show you Romans 6. We just move right along with just one verse. Romans chapter 6. When you give your life, you can receive his life. He's already given his life for us. That's what the death on the cross for. But you cannot receive his life until you die. Your life must give your life. You got to die to your life. You live, let him live his life through you. That's what you got to do. You got to let him live his life through you. You can't live your life no more and then go to be with the Lord. You can't do that. You got to give your life. All right, you there? All right, Romans chapter 6. When you get there, say amen. Romans chapter 6, verse number 2. Read it. Romans 6 and verse 2. God forbid. Romans chapter 6, verse 2. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin? You are dead to sin. Say, I'm dead to sin. All right, let's go to Romans. Romans chapter 6. So you got to understand. Well, let's read another verse there. We are dead to sin. We cannot live any longer. We are dead to sin. Now go to verse 3. The next two verses, it says, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into what? It's death. See? Therefore, we are buried with him. Say, we dead. You buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. You can't walk into a new life until you give your life. You have to give your life, receive him. Romans chapter 7. And we're going to start reading with verse 4. So you're dead. Romans 6 say you're dead to the law. I'm saying you're dead to sin. Romans 7, you're dead to the law. Romans chapter 8, resurrection. Let's read it. Romans chapter 7 and verse 4. Read it. Wherefore, my brothers, you also are become what? Dead to the law by the body of Christ. You see, you got to understand, it's like a marriage. When you are married to Christ, that's what's happened. You're dead to your old man. You're dead to your old self, so you can be married to the new man, which is Christ. You got to be dead to Adam. See, Adam has a sin nature. See, that's what people don't understand. Your old nature is a satanic nature. It's a sin nature. God wants you to give it up so he can come and live in your house with a new nature. You cannot receive Christ's nature and keep your old nature. You cannot do that. All right? So in verse number 5, we in Romans chapter 7, verse 5. That's the next read. For when we were in the flesh, see, you know what he says, when we were? We were, the motions of sins were by the law did work in our members to bring us fruit unto death. That's why if you stay in the flesh, you're going to die. But now we are delivered from the flesh. We are now delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were healed, past tense, that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. And I'm going to be going to my message. Just want to show you, you got to understand, you cannot experience God's new life until you give him your old life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22. Just one verse. We headed to resurrection. Everybody want resurrection, but nobody want to die to your old nature. You have to die to your old nature. God give you his nature, a new nature. 1 Corinthians 15, 22. This is where you at. You got to make a choice. For in Adam I'll die. If I stay in my old life, I'm going to die and I'm going to go to eternity in hell. But the same verse says, even so Christ shall be made alive. For in Adam I'll die, in Christ all shall be made alive. See, God already did the work of salvation in the old covenant. You got to believe God to get it. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. You have to believe the gospel of Christ to receive God's salvation. The work has been finished. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 6. Nothing you can do to save yourself. God saved you at the cross. God did all the work if you receive it. That's all you can do. You have to deny yourself, like the old covenant said, take up your cross daily and follow me. All right? But not your cross. Take up his new life. All right? Now, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 6, just one verse. This is what God gave the Apostle Paul. Read it. That the Gentile should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ. How? By the gospel. That's why I'm giving you the gospel. If you believe the gospel, you become partakers of his grace. Partakers of his grace by the gospel. All right. So we're going to deal with the word today to receive. Now let's go to Ephesians 2:16 while we're there. From the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16, we want to show you the word reconcile. So what did God already do to you? He reconciled you. Now all of this is here for you if you would deny yourself and receive God's new life. That's all you have to do. But you can't keep your old life and get the new life too. You can't have both. You got to deny yourself. All right, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 16, just one verse, read it. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body see that word by the cross? Because that's how you were saved, by the cross. Having slain the enmity thereby, we were saved by the cross. But he also said he reconciled us by the cross. Now what we want to do today is go to that word reconcile. Go to Colossians 1:19. In Ephesians, go forward. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 19. Thank you for your blood, Father. Thank you for your cross. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 19. Now let's back up to verse 18, because he told you, don't let no man deceive you. You want to try to bring me up a little bit, you make me look good. Ain't that right? Thank you. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 18. All right. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 18. Let's read it. Let no man beguile you. See, let no man beguile you of your reward. in a voluntary humility of worshiping of angels, intruding in those things which they have not seen, vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind. Watch what God says in the next verse. In verse number 19, it says, and not holding the head, which from body, all the body fits together. That's not what I'm reading. Colossians chapter 1 is what I need to hear, right? All right. I'm in Colossians 2. Colossians chapter 1. Go tell him what I just said. Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number. They got it. Colossians chapter 1. And let's look at verse number 18. Are you there? Colossians 1, 18. Let's read it. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that it all things he might have the preeminence. The word preeminence means what? First. That's all it is. If you go to a school, the principal is first. That's what preeminence means. He's the principal. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. So what do God want in you? All fullness. What did he give you first? Christ. Once he gave you Christ, he did not withhold anything from you. See? When he gave you Christ, he gave you everything. He gave you the Holy Spirit. He gave you all his blessings, all his grace, because he gave you his Holy Spirit. All right? So you're not lacking nothing when you are complete in Christ. Because when God gave you Christ, he gave you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in Christ. He gave you the Father. The Father is in the Son. When Jesus talked, he said, I and my Father are one and the same. I'm in the Father and the Father in me. That's what you got to understand. But when God put Christ in you, the Holy Ghost and the Father is in Christ. You're lacking nothing, but you will never see these things operate until you decrease. That's why John the Baptist said, I must do something. I must do something, John says. We're going to somebody find it. There's only one thing John have to do. You cannot get what God have and keep your old life. You cannot do it. All right, now look here in Colossians 1:20. Let's read it. And having made peace through the blood of his cross. Read. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to do what? Reconcile all things to himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in heaven or earth or things in heaven. So he reconciled all things to himself. You need to know what it means to reconcile. God put all things back in grace. Reconcile. Adam fell from grace. Christ came and reconciled you. He put you back into the grace of God. Reconcile you. He restored you back to the favor of God. Reconcile. See, if you knew what I just got through saying, you would be clapping your hands and thanking the Lord, because God gave you back what you lost. That's everything is re. He restored. Reconcile. The word re, anything with an R-E in the front, mean to give that back. All right, he reconciled you. He restored you. He put you back where you fell from. That's what it means. He gave you God's life again. All right, you keep your life, you're gonna die. It's not a maybe. It's a must. God has given you His Son. How much do God want us not to die? He gave us His life. That's what that cross is for. He gave you His life, so you can live you can lose your life and still keep it. That's why Galatians says, not I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, so you will be able to live, you just got to live it by the faith of the Son of God. That means Christ want to live his life through you. All right? That means he wants Christ to be seen and not you. That's what that means. All right. Now, let's move on. Now, let's go to, what is it? John chapter 3 and verse 30. All right. Let's go to the Gospel of John. In chapter 3. Now we're gonna hear what John the Baptist says in John chapter 3 and verse 30. Remember that John already said in John chapter 1, and we saw that in verse number 29 and verse 36, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He did really take it away. See, he took the sin away. That's why you could not be saved in the old covenant. Only 8 people were saved in the old covenant, and it's because Noah built the ark. And that ark was Christ. Only 8 people were saved by a flood, by water. They got in the ark with Noah, and God saved them. You could not, it was impossible. I read through that this morning in Matthew 19, 26. It was impossible for man to be saved. That's why Christ had to come. And yet people would preach in churches, we are soul winning church. Whose souls are you winning? Christ saved all souls at the cross. Now this is why what the church got to catch up at. That's why Paul said that it might be made known to the church, the manifold wisdom of God. Because the church is the one that don't know what their Lord did. You see? All right. Now, in the Gospel of John chapter 3, in what verse? John chapter 3 and verse. All right. Let's start with John chapter 3 and verse 3 first. We'll go that way. We're going to read because we got 3 through 5 out there. Remember, we didn't do it last time. John chapter 3. Now, I'm going to show you this is what God did. But this is a story he had with Nicodemus. In verse 3, he says, in Nicodemus, Nicodemus asked him a question about going into the kingdom of God. Everything was about the kingdom. And then he said to him, verily, verily, I say to you in verse 3, except a man be born again. Remember, we used to sing the song about being born again? Right. We used to always sing that man had to be born again. Now, I'm going to show you he was born again, but he was born again at the cross. That's what all men were born again at the cross. But see, we used to sing a song, you must be born again. We used to sing a song, you must be saved. Well, all of that happened at the cross. So that's why I'm letting you know those things we've done, we didn't know. But you were saved at the cross. All right? Now, when you were saved at the cross, that's why I taught, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creation. You are a new creation. And then I showed you were created in Christ. So when Christ died and buried and raised again from the dead, we were created in Christ. That's how we got to be a new creation. Now we have to go from there. That means now we got to make sure we get Christ in us. See, you're already in Christ. You've been made a new creation. But to be in Christ means to be back in God's righteousness, be back in God's grace, be back in God's favor. But now you got to get Christ in you. That's what we're here for today, to make sure you get Christ in you. Okay? That's why I said Christ cannot come inside of you until you die to yourself. You got to be dead to yourself, then you come like a plant, like a seed. You got to give the ground the old seed, and then the ground give you a new life. So if you don't give the old, you can't get the new. All right, just want to make sure everybody understands. The Gospel of John chapter 3 and verse number 3. Jesus talking to Nicodemus. He said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus said to him, to see the kingdom of God. You cannot see the kingdom of God. John chapter 3 and verse 3. Then he says, Nicodemus asks in verse 4, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. You need to underline those two. We're going to see those today. You're born of the water and the Spirit. If you're not born of the water of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, you got to understand the kingdom of God back in when he was teaching is Christ, but they don't know it. Most church folk don't know the kingdom of God is Christ. That's why they still trying to preach the kingdom. The kingdom is not revealed. When you preach the kingdom, it's not revealed. See, so don't think somebody's more wise than anybody else. You preach the kingdom, people still don't know who the kingdom is. Sound good, but the kingdom is Christ. That's why the Bible told you. Let me show you that quickly. Let's go to Luke chapter 17, verse 20. You have to know what the kingdom is. Most people do not know the day that the kingdom is Christ. See, when Christ is in you, the kingdom is in you. That's why the Father is called the kingdom of heaven. I got a series in the storehouse. Don't go bother my brother down there now, Luke, because it's not on DVD, I don't think. That was an older tape on cassette. So in Luke chapter 17, verse 20, so you got, what did I tell you the kingdom is? Where's Christ? Right, so when you go back instead of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, look at Luke 17, 20. Are you there? Read. And when he was the man of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God shall come. See? He asked and said to them, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. So you got to understand, you're not going to be able to see the kingdom of God when he comes. Because we know Christ is the kingdom. Say, Christ, Christ is the kingdom, and the kingdom is in us. All right. Now, the next verse said, neither shall they say, lo here, lo there, behold, the kingdom of God is where? Come on now, don't drop the bucket. We got a lot of people over in Jamaica waiting for you to say something. Come on. The gospel is being preached here. You got to participate. All right. Come on. It says, neither shall they say, lo here, lo there, behold, the kingdom of God is where? In you, right? We are teaching them. See, you're going to the place where the gospel is preached, so we are teaching them. You just can't play around. You could be them, and they could be you. Come on. All right. So the kingdom of God is where? Who is the kingdom?
Christ.
Christ is the kingdom. Where is Christ? In you. That's what God wants. Now, that's what I mean when I say you are in the kingdom, but now the kingdom of God got to be put in you. Christ is the kingdom. The kingdom can't come in you because you won't participate. You got to receive the kingdom. See, what happened is we think we already have arrived. If you have, you will be further along in life than you are now. You got to understand something. The Christ in you comes in you to teach you. The Holy Ghost can't teach you until he come in. Okay. All right, let's move on. Now, the kingdom of God is in you. Let's go back to John chapter 3 and verse 5. Verily, verily, I say to you, John chapter 3 and verse 5. Now, he just told him in verse number 3, except you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom. Verse 5, Jesus said, verily, I say to you, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So when you was born of the water and the Spirit, you enter the kingdom. Let me say it again. Read verse 5 only. I just want to show you something. Those who want to read, you don't want to read, forgive me for bothering you. Those who want to read, please forgive me. Those who want to read, just give me the one just want to read. If I don't hear you, I won't bother you no more, okay? Because you're messing my spirit, okay? Verse number 5, read. Verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. This is what I say to you. When you was born of water and the Spirit, it's already happened. Because that's when you enter the kingdom. That's what I want to show you. You already entered the kingdom. That's what I told you. Only thing about it is the kingdom got to be in you. But you already entered the kingdom. When? At the cross. The kingdom is Christ. When did you enter Christ? That's what I'm trying to show you. If you just pay attention, I can show you. Don't think you know. You don't know this. This has to be revealed by the Holy Spirit. You just listen. The Holy Spirit wants to show you that he put you in the kingdom, Christ, at the cross. Now, let me go back and read it to you. I gave it to you, but let me read it to you again. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. See, are we teaching a lot of people out there? You get yours later. You get the tape, and you go through yours later. Just let us teach them first, okay? Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse number 10. And then we're going to go show you 2 Corinthians 5:17. Just two verses. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And we are his new creation. Come on, read. And we are his new creation, created in Christ. When were you created in Christ? Right. That's why I said Christ is the kingdom. So you was put in the kingdom at the cross. That means you was born again at the cross. See, we're going to go back to where I left off this morning. That's why I'm getting you there. That was over there in the Gospel of St. Matthew chapter 19. We're going to go back. We started reading verse 25, but we didn't finish. All right. So we see that we were created in Christ. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. I'm trying to get you to understand that you already in Christ, you already been born again. That's what happened. You just got to receive it. So you're trying to make it happen. You can't make this happen. With men, it's impossible to be born again. God did it for you, and all you have to do is just receive the new birth. Nothing you can do. With man, it's impossible. All right. So, all right. 1 Corinthians, I gave you in what verse? 2 Corinthians 5. Thank you for listening. Verse number 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. I'm not a tough guy, but I do know if you miss this teaching right now, all the other stuff, you can just stay at home. You're not serious. My point, if you're not serious with your salvation, you don't need to come to this church. You need to go somewhere else so you can play religion. Because this church is about making sure your blindness come off. This church is to make sure that the demonic spirit leave your mind. Darkness. The power of Satan. My job is to make sure I put the power of God in you, and that's Christ himself. His job is to make sure he put his power in your mind. That's the knowledge of God. I'm trying to bring you to understanding so you will not be defeated no more, oppressed no more, going through all this stuff you're going through because you don't know how the gospel, the Christ in you want to work. He wants to work in you. You got to let him work. You can't let him work without the knowledge. The Old Testament believer, Hosea 4:6, they were defeated, destroyed because they lacked knowledge. I'm here to give you some word. We ain't here to play no church, man. We're here to get you your stuff. And everything God has for your life. This is what happened with people. They never leave nothing for nobody else because they never found nothing for themselves. All right. Come on, I'm okay. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm very quiet, but I am for real. You don't know how much time I spend and have to not sleep. Most Saturday night, I don't get no sleep because the word of God won't let me go to sleep. It never stopped. It never stopped revealing itself. 2 Corinthians 5:17, read, therefore, if any man be in Christ. Now, when you read the word therefore, he's talking about out of everything that he said before this, now therefore. See, he already told you a whole lot of stuff. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I don't think you understand when you say a new creature. You are not an old creature no more. You are not old Adam with your own agenda. You're a new creation in Christ. You've never been here before. You don't understand. You're a new creation. All right. Now, let's move on to the next thing. We're going back to Matthew 19. Now, Matthew 19 is where I left off this morning. I'm just getting to where I want to be at this morning because we're going to show you got to receive. Matthew chapter 19. And I want to go to verse 25. 19:25. I want to keep going. When his disciples heard it, because Jesus told him how hard it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. Then Jesus said, again, I said to you, it's easier for a camel, in verse 24, to go through the eye of a needle for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, we know the kingdom of God is Christ. We know you already in the right. So how did you get in the kingdom? You was born into the kingdom. When did that happen? At the cross. That's what I need from you. I need you to pay attention. I'm laying out just like a surgeon doing a steak, a ribeye at that. All right. Verse number 26, he asks a question, verse 25. Well, then who can be saved? Said we already saved. We remember we back here in Matthew. So if you preach Matthew, you preaching how can I be saved? When I go over here to Paul, you already saved. By grace you are saved. Grace means the cross. Somebody did it for you. But you got to do one thing. Is you got to receive it. Verse number 26, but Jesus beheld them and said to them, with men, it is impossible. Look at somebody say, if God didn't do it, we wouldn't have it. Because with men it was impossible. All right. Now, let's go on to verse 27 because I showed you a word. After here, we're going to go to the book of Titus, chapter 3. In verse 27, we are in Matthew 19:27. Then answered Peter and said to them, behold, we have forsaken all and followed you. What are we going to have? Watch what Jesus said to him. Read. Verily I say to you that you which have followed me, comma, when? He going to tell you when you're going to get your stuff. In the regeneration. Somebody said, we're in the regeneration. Remember, we were regenerated at the cross. The regeneration means reborn, rebirth. You were born again at the cross. Are you listening to me? Every man, whether you receive it or not, I'm talking to them that are receiving it now. You can be cool and quiet, that's up to you, but you go to the game, you are all alive. Come on now. You got to be alive here. This is your salvation. You got to receive the word of God with joy. You can't receive the word of God with... That's why so many people can't receive the word. You can't receive the word with sadness. You got to receive the word of God with joy. Enter his presence with thanksgiving. You can't receive it unless you're joyful. This thing is real. You got to want this. You got to rejoice. This is your salvation. All right, verse number 28. That's where we are. And he said to them, verily I say to you, that you which have followed me, come. Not come. You got to get that coming because you're getting ready to give you a paragraph. In the regeneration, he getting ready to tell you something going to happen. When the Son of Man sits on his throne of his glory, that's where he is now. That's why I know you are in the regeneration. You shall also sit with me on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That's why I know it's already happened. That's why I don't argue with you. I just told you right there. They were judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Judging them, they had to rise from the dead and be judged. If you look at the book. All right. Now, but that's not you. All right. Now, let's go to the regeneration, shall we? We go to the book of Titus. Chapter 3, I showed you already regeneration means born again. We were all born again at the cross. At the cross means when you were saved. That's when you become a new creation. To receive that, you got to understand I am dead. I must become alive in Christ. All right, where am I going now? After the book of Titus. Titus is after Timothy. You go to 1st, 2nd Timothy and Titus. You're going to look at chapter number 3. And we're going to show you in start with verse 3. Now, verse 3 is going to show you who you used to be. Verse 4 is going to show you what God did. And verse 5 is going to show you that you have been regenerated. You are a new creation. See, if you have received it, then we will know you are a new creature. If you have not received it, you are still the old creature. That's the only way we can know. Because I can't be Earl, the old Earl, the drinker and the smoker and the man who run around women. I can't be that Earl. See, you got to understand, the old things has passed away. You can't be the old man and the new. You got to own it and disown it or whatever. Let me move on. I started saying something else. Well, I started saying you got to quit it and forget it, but I ain't going to bother them two words. All right, verse 3. Come on, verse 3, you got to do what? We ourselves also were. This is who we were. Come on, face yourself. This is who I was. I was foolish. I was disobedient. I was deceived. I was serving divers lusts. I was in pleasure. I was living in malice. I was in envy. I was in hateful. I was hating one another. All that was us. Until you can acknowledge that's your past. Somebody said, that's my past. That's who I was. All right, let's see who you are now. Come on. But after the kindness and the love of God, our Savior. Somebody said that's the cross. That's Christ's death on the cross. It was toward all men. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy. Now, his mercy is his grace. His mercy is his love. His mercy is his favor. All that's mercy. That means that you do not deserve mercy. God give you what you don't deserve. It's called mercy. So God didn't save you because you were so good. Let's go to Hobart. Hold it. Go to Romans 5. You got to understand, when God saved you, let's see who you were. See, if you're still the same person, you ain't saved. You rejected salvation. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 5. Let's start verse 6. Start verse 6. Romans 5 and 6 read. For when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the good people. Oh, he died for us when we were ungodly. Yeah, without God. Verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man if he would one die, but peradventure for a good man, some would dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet. We were still sinners, and guess what Christ did? He died for us. Somebody ought to give him some praise. Somebody ought to thank him for what he has done. And the way you give God thanksgiving and praise when you live right, that's when you tell him thank you. To worship God means to what? Live right. See, living worshiping ain't a hand clap. Worshiping is a sacrifice of your life, living for him because he died for me. Let me say it again. I'm going to live for him because he died for me. I worship him with my life because he gave his life for me. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God commended his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Now let's go back to Titus, because we want to show you this thing in Titus. In verse number 4, Titus chapter 3 and verse 4, after the kindness, love of God, our Savior towards men appear. That's already happened. Not by works of righteousness, which we've done, but according, number one, you ought to be putting these down. Number one, according to his mercy, he saved us. He don't tell you he gonna save us. Titus is telling you what he did for you. The word save you means he reconciled you. Save you means he restored you. Save you means he reborn you. Save you means he rebirthed you. Anything he did for you, he already did it at the cross. He ain't coming back, so you better receive what he did for you. All right? I say he saved you, but it was according to his mercy. Then he told you how he did it. Somebody said, how did he do it? He did it by the washing of regeneration. The washing, remember I told you the word regeneration? That means he washed us again. We know with his own blood. And he regenerated us. That means he reborn us. That means he rebirthed us. See, you are a new creation in Christ. All right? But according to his mercy, he saved us by the by the washing and a regeneration. Watch this. And renewing of the Holy Ghost. He gave you back the Holy Ghost. See, that's what you don't understand. He gave it to you, but you got to receive it. And until you believe the gospel, you won't receive it. You can't think you already got it. It's not going to work. I'm getting ready to go through some things to show you. When did he do this, Pastor? Verse number 6. Go to the next verse. Which he shed on us. Remember, why would he use the word shed? Why do God use the word shed? Because you can only shed one thing. He shed his blood on the cross. You got to understand, that's why he used the word shed. You can't shed water. He was a sacrifice. When you kill an animal, they shed their blood. When you have an animal who's going to pull off their old skin, they shed their old skin. That means something got to help pull it off. Because they beat him, he was shedding his blood. Because they were killing him, he was shedding his blood. What they were doing to him caused him to shed his blood. A snake sheds his old skin. But he had to hook onto something and shed it, pull it off. So that's what he did on the cross. They helped him pull off the old man. He shed it on the cross. That's why the cross, he had to nail them there. While they were nailing, they didn't know that he was going to shed the old man. He's going to put it off. And then they're going to put him in a tomb. He's going to put on another man. The Bible says he shed it on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That we'll be now justified by his grace. Now let's go where now? He's already done Titus. Did I tell you where we're going after that? We already been to Rome. We're done with Rome. Okay. All right. Now, let's go to Galatians. I'm going to deal with the word receive. I got 15 minutes. We're going to deal with one word, to receive. Now, the word receive is very simple. That means take it, take it. You just can't sit there and look at it. If you're going to receive something, you got to receive it. You got to take it. And we know where you're going to take it at in your heart. You do that by believing it. All right? Now, let's put them down. We're getting ready to receive. Even Christ himself. Go to Colossians 2, 6, and 7. You also got to receive Christ. You don't get Christ until you receive him. See, people think I was baptized. You ain't got no Christ. You can't get Christ through water baptism. You can't get Christ through no other way but receive it when you hear the gospel. When you hear the gospel, you got to open your heart and receive him into your heart. This is one of the most important messages I ever ministered in my life. That's why I ask you to receive the word of God. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6 and 7. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6 and verse 7. Read. As you have therefore done what? You received Christ Jesus the Lord. Come on, receive him in your heart. Come on, receive it. Say, Father, I thank you for I receive Christ in my heart right now. Don't take for granted that he's already there. 90% of church folk do not have Christ in them. This is not a game. This is a reality. When Christ come in you, you gonna know it. This is not a game. This is no religion. See, I was deceived a lot of time in my life. People say, how you know you got the Holy Ghost? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You ain't got nothing. When Christ walked through my wall, he walked to me, came through my wall. The glorified Christ, he walked to me. I tried to look at him. He took my head, my hand, and moved it. He came beside of me. He stood over me. Stood over me and received, just like the Acts chapter 2, the day of the Holy Ghost came like a rushing mighty wind and it filled the whole house. When Christ came inside of me, he filled my whole house. I fell down on the floor and I woke up thanking God for the Holy Ghost. This ain't no game. When Christ come inside of you, you're gonna know it. We've been playing patty cake too long. It's time to receive the Holy Ghost. Christ wants to live in the house that he's built. He wants to live. You ask my wife, she went through the same thing I did. This ain't no game, is it, honey? Ain't no game. When Christ come in, did you know he came in? This ain't no game. You receive him today. You don't have to worry about the day or the hour when he come. No man know the day or the hour when he come. Yeah, you got that right. You just got to be ready. Whenever he come, don't fight him. Just lay there. Just lay there, and I tell you, he going to come up on you. Just like he did Mary. He came up on her, and he put his word in her. He put his son in her. You got to see this thing. This ain't no game. Colossians chapter 2. Where am I right now? Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. Let's go back to verse 6. Come on, let's read. I need you to be a part of this thing. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. What now? How are you supposed to do now? The word walk means live. You got to now walk in him. You're walking in him. Once you receive him, you got to now start walking in him. You got to realize once you come in him, once he come in you, you got to start walking in him. It ain't you that alive no more. It's him now. He wants to walk. You got to walk in him. That word walk means live. You got to live the rest of your life in him. Amen. See, that's why so many people don't receive, because they wishy-washy. They don't know whether they want to be in the water or out the water. They don't know whether they want to be the water cold or the water hot. You got to want this thing. I'm telling you right now, I feel like folk in this house right now, especially I feel that spirit. I don't know if it's coming from here or in here, that people want this. Yes, sir. I'm going to tell you one thing. You have not reached your potential until he come in. When he come in, you're going to know, everybody going to know. You talking about calling some folk, you're going to let them know. And verse number 7, somebody say you got to walk in him once you come. Let me show you that. Hold right there. We're going to go to Acts 17. Acts 17. Let me show you what Paul says. I want you to mark in your Bible. This is what it means, Acts 17, because it laid it out so well. Acts 17, verse 28, because this is exactly what happens right here. Acts chapter 17. This is what's going to happen to you right here. And verse 28, when you get this, say amen. All right, come on. For in him we live and move and have our being. Come on, say, in him we live and move. And that's what walking in him means. You're in him. In him you live now. See, that's what happened when happened. You already in Christ. You living in Christ. That's the first part. In him we live. Then you got to move and have your existence. Everything going to have to be in him. All right? Now, go back to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Rooted. This is process. This is your process. Rooted and built up in him. See, ain't no be nobody else but him. God gave you the Christ in you. He gave you the one spirit. The spirit, 1 Corinthians 6, 17, by one spirit are we all connected. That's your connection. 1 Corinthians 6, 17 said one. What does it say? By one spirit we all what? We are joined. The word is joined. That's how God joined. You know, marriage is a joined word. You're married, you're joined. But God gave you the Holy, give you Christ in you, the hope of glory. By one spirit, he joined us. Now, he joined my spirit to the Holy Spirit back to me. So everything that's in the Holy Spirit now can flow to me, flow to my mind. That's how he did it, joined it, okay? All right, now verse number 7 says, rooted, built up, established in the faith. As you have been taught, that's why you got to know the word, abounding therewith with thanksgiving. As you grow, your thanksgiving should increase. All right, now we're going to move on because I got to go to some more. Go to 2 Corinthians. No, I'm not going to do that one. Go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I don't have but 7 minutes. I got to get some more in. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. See, there are some other ones that was talking to the church of God. I just want to get what he said to the Gentiles right now. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. Let's start verse 8. Forgive me. Back up one verse. All right. Verse 8, read it. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, virtue is power. If there be any power, if there be any praise, 2 P's, come on, say power and praise. It's going to manifest in my life. Say Christ in me will be praise and power. All right, he said if there's going to be any praise and power in your life, you got to think on these things. Your mind can't be on all this other stuff. Now look at verse 9 is what I want. That's the key verse. Read. Those things which you have both learned, that's why you got to be taught. You got to be taught. Those things which you have learned and, come on, and. If anybody see what I'm up, the screen up here, what does it say? Come on, listen. I know you like to be a little quiet girl and a little quiet boy, but today you got to receive. Okay, so when it's time for you to read, read. All right? Those things which you have both what? Learned and received and heard and seen in me. That's what your leader got to do. That's why I believe that God did it for me. Because my job now is to demonstrate to you. See, the Spirit of God wants to take over his house. He tired of you running it. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. Watch this. And the God of peace. That's the peace of God. See, the peace of God is Christ. Shall be with you. You'll never be worried no more about peace of God in your life. Somebody say amen. All right, we're going to go to the next one. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. Now, I'm going to show you because there are people who did not receive the grace of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6. Before you get to Timothy, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6. When you get there, say amen. Watch what the Paul says to the Thessalonians. Now, we know these were Jews because that's in Thessalonians. He said, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received Having done what? They had to receive the word. They received the word in mercy, afflictions, and joy of the Holy Ghost. Now, then in verse 7 says, so that you was examples of all that believe in Macedonia. They were examples of people to believe because they received the word. You cannot be an example of a believer unless you receive the word. Let's show you another one in Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, one you probably hear us talk about a lot in this church. 1 Thessalonians chapter, let's start off reading with verse number 12. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, you right there, go to verse 12. Let's read. That you would, oh, we'll wait on the screen, wait on the screen. 1 Thessalonians 2:12. All right, there we go. It said that you will walk worthy of God who has called you into his kingdom and glory. So you got to understand, God called us into the kingdom of glory. That's the same thing of Galatians 1. How many know that's Christ? Amen. Remember, this is them. They were called in. They were what? Called in. You were born in. I just want, can you see the difference? The church of God was called in. You were born in. You remember the cross? All right. You got your birth at the cross. They were called into the kingdom. You were born into the kingdom. All right. Now, I just want to show you the difference. Let's go to the next one. Verse number 13 is the verse I want. Let's read it. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received, how you get the word? You received the word of God, which you heard of us. You received the word which you heard of us. Not as the word, you receive it not as the word of men, but as it in truth, the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that what? That believe. People who believe the word of God works in them. All right. Christ work in you if you believe. All right. Now let's move to another one here. I want to show you one more. And that is the book of Hebrews chapter 10. We got 2 minutes. I want to take these 2 minutes. Chapter 10, verse 1 through 4. Before you get to Peter and Timothy, after Titus, Hebrews, we're going to go to chapter 10. Now, chapter 10 told us what God is doing. If you're not preaching Christ, death, burial, and resurrection for salvation, you are an enemy of the cross. All right, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. Hebrews 10 and 1. Is everybody there? Let's read together. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, not the very image of the thing, can never, say never, yeah, with those sacrifices. Now, that was animal sacrifices. Never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year. Now, they're doing that every year in Israel. The same thing. When Paul wrote this, they were doing that in Israel. So he wrote this. He said, listen, the sacrifices that you're doing every year by year continually cannot make the commons thereof perfect. He's talking to the conscience. Those sacrifices can't clean the conscience. See, when you talk about people water baptized, it can't clean your conscience. When you talk about people who were saved by this way, they were saved by confession, it does nothing to your conscience. Only the blood of Christ can deal with the conscience. Let's look at verse number 2. For then, read it, for then would they not have ceased. If they were working, you would still be doing them, Paul says. All right? Because that the worshipers once purged, how many times you were purged? Once purged, should have had no more conscience of sin. Once Christ washed your soul, you have no more conscience of sin. See, that's how you know you're saved. All right, verse number 3 said, but in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance again, year again. Now, that's why we don't do communion on the table. Because every time you do those sacrifices that the law talks about, you're remembering sin over and over. Every time you do that, you are remembering sin. That's all you can talk about at the table is sin. If you need to get right with somebody, you got sin in your life, that's all you're going to talk about at the table. That's why we don't do that. It reminds us of sin. The Bible says in verse number 2, for then would they not have offered, ceased to be offered, because that the worshiper once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance. Those eating bread on the table, water baptism, is a remembrance of sin. You go back to anybody water baptized, they're going to tell you they're washing their sins away. Anybody taking communion on the table, they're telling you that you're reminding that person of sin. You got to understand, sin was dealt with at the cross. You need to get it out your conscience. There is no more remembrance of sin. God does not remember sin no more. You got to stop thinking people are sinners. They are not sinners no more. That word sinners ended at the cross. While we were, yes, sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. People are not sinners anymore. I don't care what you think. People are not sinners anymore. You don't understand. When people do things, they have a work of the flesh. They have a lust of the flesh that we're going to get to need to be delivered. Just like a man smoke a cigarette. Just like a man smoke a cigar. Just like people smoke drugs. You got to get delivered. You cannot live off of drugs. Christ's life in you to live, not the drug. You can't live off the cigar. You can't live off the cigarette. All the stuff that we do in our natural life, you cannot live off that. That's why Christ is in you, the hope of glory. You got to let him live your life in you. You'll never know who you really are and who he really is until you die to yourself. Verse number 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. It's not possible. Well, we better go down and find out something. Go down to verse 10. It's not possible. You cannot get water baptized and take away sin. You cannot offer lamb, goat, turtle dove, pigeon, bulls, whatever it is, to take away sin. None of it works. And yet those people do it every year over there. It won't work. That's why a lot of churches have this same thing. A lot of churches taking over countries. They have taken over countries, telling people, we put this woman in your yard and it guard you from the evil one. It won't work. How in the world a woman's stature going to guard you from devils? You've been deceived. That dark spirit is going out of here. You can't have that stuff. Don't let nobody give you a shiny nickel to put in your pocket to guard you from evil spirit. That's a devil. That's a lie. Anything that don't cast out devil, draw devils. People give you stuff talking about to get rid of the devil. No, he's going to draw devils because Christ is your hope. Christ is your Lord. You got to understand, you got a faith of the Son of God. Stop letting people make a fool out of you. You can't cut no tree off and make it somebody in your yard and think devils ain't coming. They don't come because of the idol. Devils are drawn to idols and images. You're going to put statues in your yard to keep away devils. Devils are going to come because of the statue. Don't let nobody fool you. Grow up. Hebrew chapter number 10 and verse 9. Jesus said, lo, I come. Here he is. To do thy will, O God. Watch what he did. He taken away the first, the old covenant, so he can establish the second. And that's what we're going to do in this house. We're going to establish that covenant in this house. By the which, verse 10, by the which will we are, not going to be, we are sanctified. Come on, I need somebody to read. We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ one time for all time. You don't be sanctified every week. When he sanctified you, you are sanctified. And every priest standing daily, ministering, offering up these idols, Paul did this while they were doing it. He writing to the Hebrews. He said, you offering up the same sacrifice. Come on, read with me. Which can never take away sin. Paul said, it can never take away sin. He saw them doing it while he was sacrificing. Jesus didn't die in a corner. He died the same day they were offering up the sacrifice. He died the same day Israel were killing the Passover. And that's what people are doing. They're still trying to put the bread on the table to get rid of sin. You cannot do it. Jesus did it on the cross once for all. Watch what he said in the next verse. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, one time he offered one. I wish I had somebody who would read with me. Jesus offered one sacrifice for sins forever. You don't have to do this no more. You don't have to baptize no more. People need to sell their pools. I'm telling you, you don't need to baptize no more. Because baptism does nothing to do with your salvation. You don't have to do this stuff no more. You don't have to offer up sacrifices and stuff no more. Jesus has died on the cross. Somebody ought to shout it hallelujah. Jesus has died on the cross. He has already paid for my sin. He paid for my debt. He paid for everything I owe. Past tense, present tense, future tense. He paid it all. If I can get a church to agree with me and say, Jesus paid it all. You don't have to baptize no more. We got to shout it out. You don't need to wash nobody off no more. You don't need to eat no bread on no table no more. Jesus has paid it all. Come on, clap your hands. My time is already gone. I thank you for yours. Give the Lord a big hand. Jesus Christ is Lord of heaven and earth. Somebody give him praise in this house. Hallelujah.